Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm going to talk about the church in Sardis. The church in Sardis was recorded as the fifth church among the seven churches, and they heard only the words of reproach without any words of praise. There are two churches that heard only words of reproach. They are the church in Laodicea and the church in Sardis. The church in Sardis would be ranked the lowest among the seven churches if each church was given marks, because they heard from the Lord a word that sounded hopeless. It says something like, "You are dead and have no hope." He said to that church in the scripture, "You are alive, but you are dead." It means the church looked alive, but it was actually dead. In other words, they confessed that, you know, they believed in God and the Lord and that they were saved, but from the viewpoint of the Lord, they had nothing to do with salvation. It means there was no salvation for them. Take a look at Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. The Lord said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" And if someone, you know, says, you know, they did jobs for Father God's kingdom and Father God's righteousness, but if Father God says, "I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness," then it's a tragedy, isn't it? The church in Sardis, however, was spiritually dying, but was not aware of their spiritual state. And that's why they heard such words of reproach. So, I hope that you may look back on yourself and your faith after you listen to what the Lord said to the church in Sardis, and get rid of the faith that seems alive but actually dead, and possess the faith that is alive. In order to do so, just as written in James 1:21, which says, "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." I wish you will receive all the messages from the altar with humility. Before getting to the main point, let me tell you about the city of Sardis. Sardis was well known for its impregnable city walls made of rock that surrounded the city. Also, there were many gold mines. So, the first gold coins were made there for the first time. The city was very wealthy. Its military force was very strong, so most people in that city were, complacent. It was full of extravagance and immorality, and it was a center of idol worshiping. Under such a circumstance, the people of the church in Sardis could not have good faith. They didn't even protest against other religions from other countries. Since they were not awake, they could neither listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit nor perceive their problems. And they were just spiritually dying. Just like the churches in Pergamum and in Thyatira, they were worshiping for Roman Empire or other idols in Church of Sardis. The church in Pergamum, however, didn't tolerate the idols. They didn't tolerate the teaching that it was impossible to compromise with idol worshiping by accepting it into their church. And there were martyrs such as Antipas. But the church in Sardis seemed to accept worshiping for Roman Empire or other idols. So since they were not awake, you know, they lived an easy worldly life. You know, they didn't perceive how seriously God the Father detests idols. Well, of course, there were some, you know, who could spiritually discern. And they didn't follow such a teaching that Father God detests. And so, you know, they deserve praise, the word of praise. So in the scripture, that's why the Lord said that they were worthy and that they would walk with the Lord in white. And I'll get to this later in this message.
But since there was no persecution and they were rich, it seems like they were at peace on the outside. However, in the reality, the church was dominated by death and desolation. We are more likely to fall into complacency, self-indulgence, and even lethargy when we have no worries and we can live in peace without any effort. And we may lose our dreams and goals and just settle for the present. In fact, when we are always at peace without any trials, we may get complacent. That's why God says trials are actually blessings. When we are under the trials, we come to rely on God all the more. We may pray harder to pass through the tests. But the church in Sardis had no trial or no difficulty, so they just got complacent and lethargic. The church was at desolate peace like death. The typical model of churches that look alive on the outside but are actually dead was the church in Sardis. What did the Lord say to this church? I'm going to talk about His word in the main parts. Let's get to the main points. I'll talk about two main points concerning the church in Sardis. In the first part, I will tell you about the Lord's reproach for the church in Sardis. In the second part, I will talk about the Lord's advice and promise given to some of the people in the church. Let's have a look at tonight's scripture. Revelation 3:1 says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead." You can see the seven spirits and the seven stars here. I will explain them just briefly. The seven spirits are what we must understand for our believing life. To receive healing, blessing, and God's answers especially, we need to understand what the seven spirits mean and satisfy their standards. Let me explain them briefly. The seven spirits are the heart of God, who is spirit itself. In order to receive answers from God, we must understand the heart of God. Even in this world, when children want to get something from their parents, they first have to know their parents' heart. If they ask for what they want according to their parents' heart, then they will more easily get what they want. The same applies when you try to receive answers from God. When you understand the heart of God well and ask for what you want according to His heart and His will, the God of justice will give you an answer. Now then, how can you understand the heart of God? You can get it straight from the 66 books of the Bible. The heart of God is in the Bible. In detailed information, it tells you how to please God and how to receive answers from Him. And it is the seven spirits that show the heart of God and the condition of answer. The seven spirits that are the heart of God search for the heart and behavior of every man. And according to justice, God gives answers and blessings to those who are proper in the heart of God. To make it easier to understand, you may think of the seven spirits as a scale that God weighs the contents that are to be measured to give the answers. When you buy certain items of produce, you weigh them on a scale and pay the price according to the weight. Likewise, when you want to receive answers, you must satisfy the condition to receive the answer by the measure of the seven spirits.
The seven spirits measure seven fields. They are faith, prayer, joy, thanksgiving, commandment keeping, faithfulness, and love is last. When you satisfy the standards of these seven fields, answers will come to you. But I will not explain each of them in detail. You must have heard about them through other pastors during services, and many of you already know them very well. So I'll not give you detailed explanation about them now. Honestly, before I came to this church, I had known the seven spirits. But, you know, while listening to senior pastor's lectures on Revelation, I came to understand how important it is to understand the seven spirits for my believing life. When I listened to the explanation on the seven spirits, I was overjoyed from the bottom of my heart. Today, the verse 1 says, "The Lord who has the seven spirits also has the seven stars." The seven stars refer to all the God's servants who were chosen by God throughout the Old and New Testament times. They are the servants that God holds in His almighty hands and uses. The Lord delivers the heart and will of Father God through their lips and manifests the works of living God so that God's children can walk in the way of the truth. But the church in Sardis was walking the opposite direction and against the will of the Lord, who searches everything and guides the children of God through the seven spirits. They were full of extravagance and immorality. They were stuck in complacency, lost their sense of identity as a church, and didn't have faith. As a result, they were told that they had a name that they were alive, but they were actually dead. The members in the church in Sardis, you know, look for the fleshly pleasure such as gold. So they were not poor in spirit. The flowers that are cut and arranged appear alive, but they are actually dead because, you know, they are separated from the root. Likewise, the faith of the members of the church in Sardis might appear alive, but when measured by the precise standard of the Lord, they were the same as dead. Now, what does it mean exactly by the expression, you have a name that you are alive, but you are dead? To make it short, the faith of the church in Sardis is dead faith without deeds. Dead faith without deeds. After Adam committed sin, his spirit, as well as all his descendants' spirits, were dead. But those who accepted the Lord as their Savior and received the Holy Spirit came to have their spirit revived. Those who have the revived spirit are not called dead, although their spirits leave their body. They are called asleep. But the church in Sardis was told that they were dead, which means they would not receive salvation. Even though they said they had faith, their faith was dead, And with that faith, salvation could not be given to them. There are some other scriptures regarding the faith that is dead. James 2:14 says, "What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him?" And James 2:17 also says, "Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." If you have true faith, you will surely live by the word of God. But if there is no such works, but only lip service, the faith is mere knowledge. It is dead faith.
But you must clearly understand that knowing and believing are completely different. James 2:19 says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. The demons also believe and shudder." It says, "The demons also believe and shudder." It means, even the demons know what God is and what the Lord is, and that they shudder before such authority. Around 20 years ago, I saw how senior pastor treated a demon-possessed person. Some members and I were waiting for senior pastor with the person. Senior pastor was going to come to pray for her. She was acting very violently, but suddenly she closed her eyes and became calm. Soon, senior pastor appeared. From when he came until he left the place, she could not open her eyes, and her eyelids were shaking. Senior pastor warmly treated her, and she stayed calm and unable to open her eyes until he left the place. Even the demon recognized the man of God and could not even open the eyes. Also, we can find in many parts of the Bible that demons recognized Jesus and cried out. Luke 8, verses 27 and 28 says, "When a man who was possessed with demons saw Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, 'What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?'" Now, can we say that demons also believe in Jesus only because they recognize the Son of God and acknowledge Him as the Savior? Not at all. Even though demons recognize Jesus, they will neither live by His word nor live in goodness. They don't believe Him, but they just know Him. And knowing doesn't bring salvation. Likewise, no matter how much people know about the Bible, as long as they don't live by what they know from the Bible, we cannot say that they truly believe. True faith is surely accompanied by deeds of living by the Word. If they don't have the deeds of living by the Word of God, even though they know a lot of them, it means that they knowingly don't live by the word, and thus their sin is greater than that of those who don't know the word of God. Luke chapter 12 verses 47 and 48 says, "And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much of him, they will ask all the more. However, those who don't put the word of God into practice are ever increasing in these days." They say such things as, "How can it be possible to live by the word of God in these days?" And then they compromise with the word. They appear to manage a believing life outwardly, but their life is no better than that of worldly people. For example, they go to church and worship God on Sunday. They give tithe and thanksgiving offerings, They say they sing praises to God and they pray. But once they are out of church, they act just like other worldly people do. They call others bad names, they become angry with others, and they enjoy worldly pleasures. They don't live by the word. They don't even try to live by the word. I heard from a member that she had joined in her company's welcoming party as a new employee. When her bosses gave her alcoholic drinks and told her to drink them, she said she doesn't drink since she is a Christian. At first, they were upset and bothered her, but later they came to acknowledge her as a true Christian. She later heard that they are also elders and deacons of other churches. Although they attend church and even receive such titles, if they befriend the world, they cannot be regarded as having faith. James 2:20 says, "But are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Even if you say you know and believe Jesus Christ, if you show no work of faith, it's useless." But we need to be careful at this point. Even though I'm putting stress on the deeds of faith, I'm not saying that only the deeds are the standard of measuring faith. In the deeds of faith, the deed means the deed from the depth of heart. It's the deed that comes out from the heart. It's the deed that comes out from the heart that has been cultivated into the truth by the Word of God. If someone has true faith, he will surely cultivate his heart in spirit according to the Word of God. The deed should come out of such a spirit-cultivated heart. Only the deed from the depth of heart that is cultivated into spirit through the circumcision can become the true deed of faith. Therefore, it is not the deed itself that is important. What is important is the heart that is contained in the deed. Once the heart is cultivated into spirit, the deed naturally follows. Those who have dead faith without deeds wouldn't even try to cultivate their hearts into spirit, so they don't put the word into practice. Even if they do so, their deed becomes only the outward deed. It becomes the hypocrisy. They can show the deeds to be noticed by others. They can pretend to do outwardly what they know as knowledge.
That's why the Lord says in Matthew 6:1, "Be aware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven." And Isaiah 29, verse 13 also says, "Then the Lord said, because these people draw near with their words and honor me with their lip service, but they remove their hearts far from me. And their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote." It means they can say that they love God with their lips. They can sing praises with their lips. But their worship is made up only of rules taught by men without hearts of love and respect. Praises and prayer where the love for the Lord is missing will not be offered up as aroma. Such deeds are all useless. So you must understand that the deeds only from knowledge or the deeds to be noticed by others without cultivating the heart into spirit will be revealed soon and bear no fruit. I'll give you an example of the deed without heart so that you will know it better. If you truly love your parents, any sort of deeds out of your heart will naturally come out. You can serve your parents well, not only when you are rich. Even if you are not wealthy, you will be able to serve your parents with all your heart. However, there is the opposite case. Outward deeds appear great, but chances are that There is no sincerity of the heart in them. Well, if you serve your parents forcibly, or if you serve them formally with some kind of intention or ulterior motive in mind, then your service cannot be true no matter how great your service appears outwardly. If your parents can read your inner heart, you know, then they will be surprised because your outward deed and inner heart are so different. So what about God, who can search the deep heart of every person? God always searches the heart of a man along with the deed. We cannot hide anything from God, you know, who searches with fiery eyes and measures through the seven spirits. Just as the Lord says, "I know your deeds," He knows not only our deeds, but also the deep things in our hearts. So, please, bring yourself to God as it is, and lay it down before God. Now, Revelation 3, verse 2 says, "Wake up and straighten the things that remain. Strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die. For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God." The Lord says, "Wake up and then strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die." It means they have to realize that faith cannot save them so that they can live in the truth from now on. Let me tell you again. It means they have to realize that faith cannot save them so that, you know, they can live in the truth from now on. They gotta realize it and they gotta act in the truth. They have to act from the heart. He says, "For I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God." It means they fell into the world and live a life that is identical to the worldly people's lives. In other words, they have to recover perfect and complete deeds. The answer to what to do in order for the deeds to be found completed can be found in the verse 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 3 says, "So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you." It's the way they can recover perfect and complete deeds. In other words, they have to remember what they have received and heard, and they are keep it and repent if they have not done so.
Please take this moment to remember what you have learned and how you have learned in this church. What you have heard and learned in this church through the shepherd is to cast off every form of evil and to resemble Father God. Leviticus 11:45 says, "For I am the Lord who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God. Thus you shall be holy, for I am holy." We have learned that we must resemble God and thus must be holy. In order for you to understand the heart of God, this church has interpreted all the spiritual meanings in the 66 books of the Bible through countless meetings and seminars. You have learned how to pray, how to worship properly, why God has cultivated human, and how to love God and the Lord, and how to have faith and hope for heaven. We have learned about all those things. This church has taught you the truth solely based on the Bible. So, we have become the people who love God above all. If you act according to what you have learned, you can recover perfect and complete deeds. Moreover, God of peace will always be with you, just as Philippians 4:9 says, "The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." It's such a great blessing. We will have nothing to worry about if God, who is the Lord God of hosts and the King of kings, is always with us. Tonight's scripture also tells them to repent. When Senior Pastor delivered this message, he put stress on one thing. He said, there is what we must remember when we repent. That is, we must recall how we met God first, how we came to believe in Jesus Christ, and how fervent we were when we received the Holy Spirit and when we were in the stage of first love. We received such great grace, and we were full of the first love. But have we valued our first love and kept it? Haven't we seen many people who didn't keep their first heart and deeds but went back to the world? Haven't we seen people who live a life that cannot be differentiated from that of the worldly people, even though they say they believe? It's time that you should repent of all those things, recover the old fullness and fervor, live by the word of God, and prepare yourself to welcome the Lord, our bridegroom. I was reminded of my first love for the Lord. I had attended church before I was guided to this church, but I experienced the first love with the Lord when I listened to Senior Pastor's sermon, The Message of the Cross. The Dr. Hua Yin also accepted the Lord when he read The Message of the Cross written by Senior Pastor. I also received a lot of grace and felt and experienced the first love with the Lord. I could not forget how I felt then. I could not explain the feeling with words, but it was what I had never felt. I felt the heart of the Lord during my prayer. I guess people meet the Lord in many different ways according to their personality, because we are all different. I was quite sensitive, so I used to cry when I listened to classical music. I was so sentimental that when I met the Lord, I felt so close to the Lord and the Father. I felt so warm when I met the Lord. The Father felt so gentle and warm to me. I was full of happiness due to the love for the Lord and God. I fell deep in love with the Father. You know, if you love someone, you may think about them all day. You may want to talk to them. So I like to pray to the Lord so much. Whenever I had time, I prayed. Prayer time was so sweet to me. When I had proper place for prayer, I found some places, or I even prayed in the bathroom. When I worked in the other orchestra, I even prayed in the bathroom. I really wanted to talk to Jesus Christ. So I was full of the first love for the Lord. As I enjoyed praying so much, I really wanted to pray in Daniel prayer meeting, but my parents didn't let me. They allowed me to go to church, but they didn't want me to go to church late at night. So I came to church during the day and prayed. In the previous sanctuary, where Hanwha building is located now, there were small prayer rooms at the back of the sanctuaries. After the practice of Nisi Orchestra, I used to pray in the prayer rooms. The room was a small inner room. It was really small. But I prayed so hard there. After the prayer, I felt like I was flying. When I could not come to church, I prayed at home. Because I could not cry out in prayer at home, I prayed in my closet. In the closet, I prayed with loud voice to the extent that my voice did not come out. I even sweated there. And my muscles even hurt when I prayed. I think it was because I used my muscles and I used much strength because I could not cry out in prayer. That's why I hurt. I was really earnest and fervent in the first love, but I realized my prayer now is not like the prayer in the past, so I repented with tears. But I still feel grateful because I was guided to this church where I can pray unceasingly. And here is our Mrs. Bongnim Lee, who has led the Daniel prayer meeting every night for the last 36 years, whether it was rainy or snowy. Thank you. The other day, I talked to someone who goes to another church. The pastor of the church said this.
He doesn't find it difficult to visit the members and preach sermons, but he finds it really hard to pray. He added that only those who pray can gain the final victory. So, as he said, we must not cease to pray until, you know, we gain the final victory. Dear brothers and sisters, we must never let our first love for the Lord who saved us and showed a meaning of life be an old memory, but we should increase and deepen our love day by day. Now, verse 3 keeps saying, the Lord is talking about what will happen to those who don't repent and turn back, and about the second advent of the Lord. It says, therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. I heard that this passage meant a lot more to the people in Sardis. They knew very well the meaning of it, because there was an historical incident related to it. Let me explain. The incident that caused the city of Sardis to be destroyed by Cyrus, the king of Persia. The city, Sardis, was an impregnable city when it comes to the location. It was hard for any strong armies to attack it. In front of the city was river Poctolus, and behind the city was Mount Tumulus. There was a narrow ridge made of rocks. The city was located at the foot of the mountain next to the river, and the three sides of the city were surrounded by a steep cliff, taller than 300 meters. At the entrance to the city was a very narrow and winding valley. So people said that even a child could guard the city. Even a little child. It was literally a natural fortress. So Cyrus, the king of Persia, besieged the city, but could not move forward. He declared that he would give a special award to anyone who could seize that city, the city of Sardis. Meantime, one of a Persian soldier named Heroetes saw one thing. a soldier of Sardis who was standing guard over the city was dozing off. While dozing off, he dropped his helmet down the cliff. He climbed down the cliff, took his helmet back, and climbed it up. That night, Noheretes took his soldiers to the cliff and followed the way made on the cliff. Then there were soldiers of Sardis. They were defenseless. And Herodotus advanced into the city and conquered it. This incident gave the people in Sardis a great lesson. They confidently thought that the city wall would never fall, but it fell in an instant. This is an incident that implies that Satan may attack us anytime if we are awake. The people in Sardis thought the city would never fall, and that they never imagined that the enemies coming into the city through the cliff. So they lowered their guard and were defeated. Likewise, if we are not spiritually awake, we may become the prey to the devil that prowls around like a roaring lion which seeks someone to devour. And if we are not ready to meet the Lord, our bridegroom, the Lord will come like a thief. Now, just as 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 and 5 says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. To those who are not of darkness but walk in light, the Lord will not come like a thief." Now, our Lord said in Matthew 24:36, of course, just as the Lord says in Matthew 24:36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." Only Father God knows of the day and hour when the Lord will coming back. He says nobody knows the exact date and hour, but he does not say he will not know roughly when he will return. It's like nobody knows exactly what date and hour a pregnant woman will deliver a baby. But we can guess roughly when it will be in a month. When a woman is in an onset of labor pains, we can guess that the woman is about to give birth. Likewise, we can guess when the Lord will come through the signs of the end times recorded in the Bible. Therefore, just as the 1 Peter 4:7 says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." You must be clear-minded and self-controlled to pray, and be ready to welcome the bridegroom, our Lord.
The word that the Lord gives to the church in Sardis is very important for the churches and their members in these last days to look back on themselves. Of course, every word given to the seven churches is important as well as that given to the church in Sardis. The words given to the churches contain important messages that enable us to check our faith and get ready to meet the Lord. The Lord wanted all churches at this end time to have the words as the standards of their believing lives and wake up through the words. That's why He let these messages recorded in the last book of the Bible, Revelation. There are many churches that are built in the name of the Lord on this earth. But the important fact is not that they are built in the name of the Lord, but that the Lord must call them alive. There are many Christians, and there are even many who call themselves saints. But how many among them live by the word of God and show their faith to God? There are many who say, "I live by the word of God. I go to church on Sunday. I give tithe, and I'm given a duty in my church." But what Father God wants is not former outward only deeds. What Father God truly wants is that you keep and live by the Word of God with a heart that resembles the heart of the Lord by showing complete and perfect deeds by which you can be differentiated from the worldly people. But even if someone is given a position in a church, and even if he appears to have faith, chances are that he may have faith that is dead. Outwardly, Judas Iscariot was in a position worthy to be recognized as a disciple of the Lord, but he forsook the grace he received and eventually saw death because of his terrible sin of selling out Jesus. At one time, King Saul, too, was recognized by God, and he was anointed as a king of Israel. But he became arrogant enough to stand against the will of God, and he also went the way of death. Therefore, the standard of faith is not the outward appearance or a position. The only standard is the Word of God. If someone teaches or is doing something that is violating the Word of God, whether he is a leader in the church or even a pastor, you must not turn your ears to them. You must not listen to them. The important thing is not whether he is in the position to teach, but whether he is practicing the Word. Matthew 23, verses 1 through 3 says, Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. You must realize this. The truly important fact is the teacher him or herself must keep to what is taught, no matter how trivial it may seem. The church in Sardis said that they believed in God and said to him, Lord and Lord, but they didn't live by the word, and they had dead faith without deeds. Then they heard the severe rebuke, saying that they had a name that they were alive, but they were dead. But they were told to remember what they had received and heard, and to keep it and repent. The Lord means we should be reminded that not all the members of the church in Sardis had dead faith.
Now let me get to the second main part. I'm going to explain the Lord's advice and promise given to a few of the members in the church in Sardis. Revelation 3:4 says, But you have a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Since the Lord says a few, His word applies to only a very small number of the members of the church in Sardis. Yet still, there were a few who kept their hearts and didn't soil their garments. Now, what does it mean by not soiling their garments? The garment represents and refers to the heart of man. Accordingly, not soiling their garments means not causing their hearts to become unclean. In other words, they lived by the word by faith in the truth so that their hearts were not stained by the worldly sin and evil. It also means cleaning the heart, which was stained before knowing the truth, by fighting against the sin to the point of shedding blood, and not soiling the cleansed hearts with the untruth and sin. So, a few people in Sardis who have not soiled their garments refers to those who try to be awake and pray and keep the true faith. Even in a situation where a blind man leads another blind man so that both are about to fall into a pit, there were a few in the church in Sardis who listened to their conscience and tried to accomplish what God wanted. However, even though they were among those who had dead faith in the Sardis church, they kept their faith and lived by the word. And they were recognized as worthy by the Lord. So we can see their faith was good. in the city of Sardis, where it was not easy to keep faith, especially among the congregation who were stained by the world by compromising with the world, it was not easy to keep their faith. Because I told you that the church in Sardis were full of idol worshiping and worshiping for Roman empires. Even in such a situation, they kept their faith, and it was truly a great blessing. For your information, there are some who are persecuted by their family while trying to manage their Christian life. Then chances are that, they may think, why should I have to live a difficult life? It would be good if I could live my Christian life together with my husband, with my family, just like others do. Well, of course, if all the members of your family are evangelized and live happy Christian lives together, it will be a true blessing. But even if not so, you must realize that it is also a blessing to you. God refines each individual according to their hearts and vessels. And God leads them to fill their shortcomings through refinements so that they can have the blessing of having their spirit and soul become prosperous. Those who live their Christian life in a persecution because of their family may feel life is hard and difficult, but through such persecutions, they will be awakened all the more and pray, and they will also learn endurance. And while fervently praying for their family, spiritual love for them will grow up. When your family persecutes you, you may feel disheartened, or you may have ill feelings against them if you look at them in a fleshly perspective. But once you have spiritual love, you will give thanks in any situations, and you will regard them as souls. At the same time, since it is a persecution for the sake of the Lord's name, your reward will pile up in heaven, and your faith will take root much, much more strongly because you kept your faith in such a difficult situation. Likewise, in order to keep their faith, a few of the church in Sardis who didn't soil their garments must have prayed much more fervently than those who lived an easy Christian life.
As a result, they could be recognized by the Lord, and they could become worthy. In your current situation, where you suffer from persecutions, it may seem hard and tough, but I hope that you will realize it will result in spiritual blessings in the end, and that you can face it in gratitude with eyes of hope. I hope you will see things that have been happening to us these days in the perspective of God. God has given us good things all the time so far. Although there were tests and trials for the church, God caused all things to work together for good and gave us greater blessings. So, I hope you will believe and rely on the Lord all the more than ever, pray more fervently, and hope for the blessing God will give to us. Since those few who were recognized as worthy by the Lord in the church in Sardis marched on with such faith, they could receive the blessing that they could walk with the Lord in white garments. White garments. But here, you must be aware that being with the Lord and walking with the Lord are different. No matter which dwelling place in heaven you will go, it's possible for you to be with the Lord because the Lord can go to any place in heaven. Even if you are in paradise, the Lord will come to you and spend some time with you. Of course, it's not that the souls in paradise will be able to see the Lord face to face and have a conversation with Him while freely walking with Him. Even if the Lord pays His visit to paradise, but surely He will be with the souls in paradise. But walking with the Lord is different. Only those in the third kingdom of heaven, more specifically, those in New Jerusalem, can walk with the Lord in a true sense. In order to walk with the Lord in eternal heaven, you must meet the qualifications also in this earth. The Lord is surely with the children of God who live in the truth. But He will walk with those who love God utmost, cast off every form of evil, and become sanctified. Let's move on to Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Here, overcoming refers to keeping faith and living in the truth. The overcoming means keeping faith and living in the truth. He says, they will thus be clothed in white garments. White garments are the garments that saved souls will wear. Even those who are not caught up in the air when the Lord comes back, but receive shameful salvation of the gleaning during the 7-year great tribulation, but will also be clothed in white garments. Hence, the white garments in this verse refers to is the garment put on by all saved souls. It is a token of salvation. The white garments appeared in the verse 4 too, but the white garments mentioned in the verse 4 are different. They don't simply refer to a mere token of salvation. When we go to heaven, we all will be given white garments, but depending on how much we are sanctified, the color of white will be different. The more proper in the sight of God, the brighter the color of white will become. By just looking at someone's garment, we will be able to figure out how much he or she resembled the Lord when he or she was cultivated in earth.
Now, Revelation 3:5 says, I will not erase his name from the book of life. When they accept the Lord, Jesus Christ, and receive the Holy Spirit, their dead spirit comes to life and gain eternal life. Their names will be recorded in the book of life in heaven. Only those whose names are written in the book of life can be saved. The Lord says, I will not erase his name from the book of life. However, we think of it inversely. It means the name recorded in the book of life can be erased, which means the fact that your name is currently written in the book of life does not guarantee your salvation. For example, once a baby is born, the baby's name will be recorded in the family register. But what if the baby dies? The name will be erased from the register. The same applies to the names in the book of life. Only when your name is recorded in it as God the Judge opens it on the White Throne Judgment Day can you reach salvation. Many Christians of today think that once their name is written in the Book of Life, they can go to heaven as long as they go to church, even if they commit sin. Well, the fact is not like that at all. Never, ever. This is the word of God. From the moment the name is written in the book of life, you step onto the way to earn an eternal life in heaven. But if you step out of the way to the eternal life in heaven, the Holy Spirit will be quenched and your name will be raised from the book. I once heard that a pastor on a Christian TV said, once your names are written in the book of life, they will not be blotted out forever. Well, I felt very sorry for him. The First Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not quench the spirit. This is a word of warning that you should be careful because the spirit, the Holy Spirit, might be quenched. And Exodus 32 verse 33 also says, the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. In other words, also in Luke 10 verses 17 to 20, it says, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. The Lord tells them to rejoice more in the names, rejoice more in their names being written in the book of life than in the demons being subject to them. He said, it's really important for our names to be recorded in the book of life. No matter how successful one may be on the earth, if his name is not in the book of life, what is the use of his successful earthly life and his wealth and glory on the earth?
And although you have attended church for a long time, know the Bible well, and work hard for the Lord with duties, what if your names are not found in the book of life during the final judgment? What a tragedy it would be. You know well, the result would be hell.
The hell is not a place worthy to visit. It is a dreadful place full of, you know, pain. You know that.
That's why the few people in Sardis listened to their conscience and tried to live properly in the sight of God who looks at our inner hearts. They did not live their believing lives in front of people, but they do in front of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 5 says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith, examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? I will read it again. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith, examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? As this verse says, we need to stay awake and pray all the time to keep intimate with the Lord. The Lord wants God's children to have a close relationship with God. He wants us to share love with God through prayer, which is the way to communicating with Him and spiritually grow up. You know very well the purpose of God's human cultivation. It is to have ones whom He can share love with. But the people in Sardis church lived their believing lives with no connection with God. No connection with God. They seemed to have faith, but they did not have the Lord in their hearts. They did not offer up their worship to the Lord during services. They did not have the Lord in their hearts during praises. They just had fellowship with people in the church, attended services to show their faith to others, and give praises that sounded good to people.
I once heard a testimony who goes to other church. She saw a vision, and I was told, you know, what she saw in her vision. There were people who were worshiping, You know, there were people who were singing praises in choir attire. Initially, you know, she saw only their backs. As she approached them and looked into their front, they were not men, but in a mannequin that worshiping and singing. The mannequins looked similar to men, but they got no life in them. So it was like that, you know, that people were worshiping God and singing praises to God, just like those in the church in Sardis. This message is about the church in Sardis, but it concerns many churches of today as well. God says they are Christians, only whose physical body goes to church. They don't have proper relationship with God. They know God is alive, but they don't believe it in their hearts. There are many Christians with such dead faith as this. We should never possess this kind of dead faith. We should feel the love of the Lord, who loves us so much until He dies for us. We must put His love in our hearts, keep the intimate relationship with the Lord, and we must be spiritually awakened all the time. As I said earlier in this message, we must remember that there will be the final judgment, which far superior to any other judgments. We must be always awakened. In order to do so, we should never make any wall of sin before God. If you have wall of sin before God, you cannot communicate with God freely. The Bible clearly tells us how to receive salvation, but it also tells us in what cases we lose that chance and faith death. The Bible lists the evident deeds of the flesh as well as sins leading to death. Well, of course, you know, we should never commit any kind of sin. But the fact is that there are sins which can be forgiven by repenting of it, and that there are sins for which there no longer remains sacrifice. They are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, falling away after partaking in the Holy Spirit, crucifying the Lord again and putting Him into open shame, and sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth. Those who commit sin such as this, after confessing their faith, prove that they believe in vain. Therefore, you should realize the salvation is not decided in a moment at once. It is an ongoing process until the Lord comes back. Chances are that those who seem to be inside the boundary of salvation may find themselves outside the boundary in their own free will. It can be true, therefore, that those who are outside the boundary of salvation can come inside the boundary as well. Therefore, even though our names were written in the book of life once, until we stand before the Lord, we should keep receiving strength from above and increase our faith.
The following verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse 5, says, "He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Only when you are recognized by the Lord, who will say, 'This is the child of God,' before God on the white throne great judgment day, can you reach salvation." In other words, only when the Lord recognizes you as the one who has lived by the word of God and by the will of God, can God also recognize you. And such a recognition of the Lord must be acknowledged by the angels as well. The angels will not play the role of jurors when your salvation is decided, but it's very important to be acknowledged by those angels. Why is that? Matthew chapter 18 verse 10 says, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven continually see the face of my Father who is in heaven." There are angels that search your deeds and heart and even your mind and report and record them. Of course, there are angels that are sent to protect the children of God, but there are also angels to search each of you. They know about you better than anyone. They know about us very well. And since angels are spirit, they don't lie. They are precise without errors. And they don't make any mistake. Senior pastor mentioned on this, bribing angels does not work. The truth itself is the law in heaven. The reports made by these angels will be used as proofs and evidence on the white throne great judgment day. Therefore, even though the angels themselves come out to witness and acknowledge you on the judgment day, you must be acknowledged that you've lived right as children of God by the precise reports made by the angels. Like this, the acknowledgement of angels is surely necessary because they know everything about you. That's why the Lord says, "I will confess His name before my Father and before His angels." The last verse, Revelation chapter 3 verse 6 says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." The Lord concludes His word by saying, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches," just as He says to other churches. The Lord is appealing to the church in Sardis once again, along with His sincere and longing heart for them to bear what they heard in mind and change. The Lord is telling them to repent and turn back, otherwise they would not be saved. He is urging them to possess the living faith. He's also actually telling it to churches of today who live in this end time. He is telling them to awake and possess the living faith. But the fact is that too many churches of today don't realize this. They don't wake up from the spiritual sleep and they have dead faith. And what is worse, they don't have a shepherd who teaches the truth to them so that they don't have faith to receive salvation. They are like the blind following the guidance of a blind man. However, because there are a few awake in each church, the Lord says to them, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And He wants to wake up the souls who are asleep with dead faith by any means. He wants those who have an ear to listen to His word and reach salvation. He also wants those who truly love Father God, seek the Lord, and long to follow the truth to find a good shepherd so that they can reach a better dwelling place in heaven, even to New Jerusalem. Father God will give everybody opportunities to be saved, even in the last moment. And He also gave this opportunity to the church in Sardis. So please remember once again how blessed and thankful you must be for the fact that you are led by the true word of life to have true spiritual faith in your believing life. Let me conclude this message. I told you about the church in Sardis that heard only the reproach, not a praise from the Lord. The Lord reproached them and said that there would be no salvation for the dead faith without deeds. He also reproached them for living in the easy worldly lives, losing the identity as a church, and not possessing the living faith. The Lord also gave a word to a few who kept their faith and awakened. He said to them that He would clothe them in white, and He promised that He would not erase their names on the Book of Life. Even though our names are written in the Book of Life, until we stand before the Lord, as Philippians chapter 2 verse 12 says, so that my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, we have to grow up until we stand before the Lord. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may be wise enough to continually examine yourself and increase your faith.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes and the deaf come to hear and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.